Hello everyone, it's Tony Whitten here. I just wanted to share with you an article that I've read recently that was in the latest edition of the Barnabas Aid magazine. It's been written by Dr. Patrick Subdeo, the founder and international director of Barnabas Fund, and it's headed Coping with Fear. I thought I'd read it to you, see what you think, maybe make a few comments, and then I'd be very interested in your feedback, or maybe it's something we could discuss in our home groups. Anyway, here it is, see what you think. It's called Coping with Fear, and it starts, "The opposite of faith is not doubt, it is fear. One night as the disciples were rowing across the Sea of Galilee, a sudden storm blew up, most likely caused by an underwater earthquake, which unleashed the powerful wind, which generated the churning waves. The disciples were frightened. They were vulnerable, powerless in the face of impending death. Jesus, sleeping on a cushion at the back, did not stir. Even when the waves breaking over the small boat began filling it with water, he seemed not to care." Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Many things can contribute to our fears. A sudden and overwhelming event, uncertainty about the future, a sense of powerlessness and inability to control what will happen. And death as a stark reality now threatens us and our loved ones, and in particular the elderly. An unknown deadly virus, a force outside our control which has suddenly come upon us, is creating fear. How should we respond? The Bible has much to say about fear, mainly urging us to trust in God, not to be afraid. It also speaks of another kind of fear, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. This fear is the reverent awe that should rightly fill us as we contemplate the majesty of the Lord Almighty. After Jesus had calmed the wind and waves, the frightened disciples became terrified with the fear of the Lord as there dawned on them a new understanding of Jesus' divine power over nature. Jesus asked the disciples in the boat why they were so afraid of the storm, why they had no faith. As followers of Christ, we're not meant to live in the grip of destructive fear, for perfect love casts out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. What is this faith that Jesus speaks of? The faith that would have kept the disciples from fear. It is a fundamental trust in the divine and in his purposes, knowing that we are in his hands and that God is in perfect control of every aspect of life, from earthquakes to minuscule organisms. This trust is founded on Jesus. "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. As he prepared them for the greatest period of uncertainty they would ever face, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." John chapter 14, verse 1. This is a command, but how do we obey it? How do we obey the command, "Do not fear," that occurs so often in the Bible? How do we learn to rest in his perfect love so that our hearts are untroubled? 7 suggestions are in the box. So the article has a little box with 7 suggestions, which I'll read later. In an age where the secular seems to control all, where humanism dominates and the fear of God is not acknowledged, we can, by God's grace, train ourselves to trust him, to rely on his love and his power, and banish our fears. In the darkness of the night and at the centre of the roaring winds and crashing waves, Jesus, the Son of God, was present. For God is always in the darkness. He is never absent, and he does not cease to care and to intervene as he wills. Whilst Jesus was asleep at the stern of the boat, his Father neither slumbered nor slept. Psalm 121, verse 4. His watchful, caring eye was over them. The writings of Christians in times past, when there were few cures for illnesses and sudden or early death was commonplace, can help us now in the time of the coronavirus. We can look out for examples and note them down, creating a resource of faith-building encouragement. Fear him, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. So these are the 7 suggestions that were mentioned earlier. Number 1. We should discipline our minds not to give way to emotions of fear. Fill our minds instead with the word of God and his promises, and apply them to our own situation. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Number 2. Deliberately put our trust in God. Tell him in prayer, speak it aloud, sing it. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9, verse 10. 3. Acknowledge that God is in control of our lives, and nothing happens by accident. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Number 4. Remember that God cares for us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Embrace the divine is number 5. Embrace the divine will, whatever comes. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And suggestion 6 is, know the end, an eternal glory which far outweighs our light and momentary troubles. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. And the last suggestion is, care for others. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. That's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So that's helpful. Just thought maybe I'd add, where am I in this whole thing about coronavirus, about fear generally? As a slight aside, I just want to go back to the story of Jesus in the boat, and it makes me smile. I'm not sure whether it's in Mark's account, but in one of the accounts, it says Jesus says, so let's cross to the other side. And he said it, and it was as if he dressed just as he was. And I can just imagine that the disciples would be thinking, well, if you like, but normally we should put on waterproofs or whatever. You'll be uncomfortable if something happens. And then that's all turned on its head as Jesus falls asleep. The storm thunders over, and it's the disciples who are afraid and uncomfortable and not Jesus. It just makes me smile. Anyway, as regards the coronavirus, I can honestly say that at the moment, I'm not fearful of it at all. It's just a personal thing. Now, is that because I'm trusting totally in Jesus? Or is it because living in Ruddington, I'm in a bit of a bubble? I'm not yet in that most vulnerable of age groups, not far off it, but not yet there. I don't know anybody close to me who's had coronavirus, who's in hospital with it. My family seem to be clear of it at the moment. So is it because I've got trust in Jesus, or is it because of those other things, being in a bubble, that I feel relatively comfortable? And the honest answer is, I don't know. I'd like to think it's because of my trust in Jesus. But if suddenly the other circumstances were to change, how would that affect me? And again, the honest answer is, I like to think I know, but until it happens, I probably don't. And of course, I don't want it to happen. I don't want to experience those times of testing. So that's kind of where I am on the coronavirus. As regards fears, well, my fears really haven't changed over recent years. My fears are not so much for me or for Helen. It's for my sons and their families and their children. I'm retired, so I don't have to earn an income, of course. They do. Matt is 41 and Joe's 39. We have 5 grandchildren, the eldest being 11, the youngest being 3, and we want the best for them. We pray for them every day and every morning and every evening. And we ask that the Lord will reveal himself more fully to them and draw them close to him, that he'll look after them. And we know, Helen and I know, that we can't directly affect their futures. It's not under our control. But we do trust in the Lord. We do trust that he will give us all that we need. At the same time, we don't want to be put to the test. Anyway, that's enough from me. God bless you all. Stay safe. And may the Lord grant you a really deep and lasting peace in your hearts. Amen.